Isn't there a Bach up there? Wasn't the call? Oh, the recording started. All right. Welcome, everybody, to the May 7, 2025 City of Rome Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. It's approximately 6:33. I'm going to call the order of the board. Raymond Tucker.
Present.
Joseph Pasquiletti. Jim DeCastro. John Magellino.
Present.
And I'm John Sturbello here from the Corporation Counsel's Office. We have Angie Toomey. And from the Codes Office, we have Mark Domenico. We have three items to consider on the agenda tonight. First item up is 25-004. Jessica Jaramillo, owner of 723 West Dominic Street, is seeking to install a fence along the rear property line at a height between 6 foot and 9 feet, 9 foot. This requires an area variance. It's located in an R2 zone, Rome Zoning Code Section 80-13.2. Under accessory structures and uses, it says that in Section K that fences, under Part 2, fence height in a residential district, fences are permitted in all yards and are subject to the following maximum heights unless any state or local code or a specific regulation of this zoning code requires a taller height. For all lots, the rear... for this one, it's going to be rear yard is 72 inches is the permitted, and you are seeking 9 feet, I assume.
That's correct.
All right. So what we usually do is we give you a chance to, I assume you're here to represent this project.
Okay, sure.
We'll give you a chance to state your case, but please first name, address into the microphone, please, and... your relationship to the project.
Sure. My name is Jesse Jaramillo. I'm co-partner owner of Casa Winnie, which is 723 West Dominic Street.
Okay.
I'm building, what was the other thing?
I just have to swear you in. That's it. All right. So do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yep.
Okay, great. Awesome. All right. So you are applying for an area variance.
That's correct.
So what we do is we have to look at five standards for an area variance, and okay. I'm going to read those standards into the record. They were also part of your application. You answered those questions in the application. I just read them into the record, and then please address them when you tell us about the project.
Okay.
So we consider one, whether an undesirable change will be produced in the character of the neighborhood or a detriment to nearby properties will be created by the granting of this area variance. Two, whether the benefits sought by the applicant can be achieved by some method feasible for the applicant to pursue other than the area variance. Number three, whether the requested area variance is substantial. Number four, whether the proposed variance will have an adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions in the neighborhood or district. And number five, whether the alleged difficulty was self-created, which consideration shall be relevant to the decision of the Board of Appeals, but shall not necessarily preclude the granting of the area variance. So, all right. So based on that, you can tell us about your project and we might have some questions for you later.
Of course. So I purchased the property in July of 2024, got a survey with it, and I think I included that in my application. If you do have a copy of it, let me know. If not, I have extra copies here. There's a wood fence currently standing, but it is not anywhere near the actual property lines. So I'm having to install a brand new fence, even though that fence is perfectly fine. And towards the back of the property, there's quite a bit of grade. And so I'm just trying to, at this point, build a privacy fence and that adjacent lot, because it's got a different grade. It's just to be able to get that standard height or adequate privacy and meet that 6 foot up front. That's why I'm asking for the variance.
Okay. Thank you. What we usually do, we'll open it up to the public at this point, if anybody wishes to speak regarding this project. No. Nobody? I'm gonna close the portion. Do we have any notes from any government agencies, any neighbors chime in or anything? Okay, any questions from the board? We're good, ready for the vote. All right. On item 25-004 on the area variance to allow a height change from an allowed 6 foot to an amended 9 foot at 723 West Dominick Street. Raymond Tucker?
Approval of the variance.
Okay, thanks, Raymond. Joe Pasqualetti?
In favor.
Thanks, Joe. Jim DeCastro? Thanks, Jim. Don Magelino?
I'm also in favor. Good luck.
Thanks, John. And I'm in favor as well. I think you met the standards for the variance, and you're good to go.
Okay.
Please make sure you talk to Mr. Domenico before you build anything.
I've already done that, but yeah. I will do it again.
Good. Yeah, just make sure we're good to go, and congrats.
All right. Thanks very much. Have
you got
it.
Have a good night. All right, next item on the agenda, 25-005, the Humane Society of Rome, owner of 6247 Lamphere Road, and tax map number 258.003-0001-003, you got to make me read all these, 258.003-0001-003.002, and 258.003-0001-015 is seeking to demolish the existing 6,930 square foot facility and construct a new 19,800 square foot facility on an adjoining tax parcel. The new facility will be constructed approximately 131 linear feet from where the existing facility is located. All five tax parcels are intended to be merged. This requires a use variance because it is located in an RR zone, and Rome Zoning Code Section 80-20-2, nonconforming use. Under A, the definition, a nonconforming use is the use of a structure or land that at one time was not allowed, was unallowed use within a zoning district, but because of subsequent amendments to the code, is no longer allowed. And then under C, relocation, a non-conforming use cannot be relocated in whole or in part to any other locations in the same lot. The non-conforming use may only be relocated to another structure or lot if the use conforms to all regulations of the zoning district where it is located. Is there anybody here to represent this project?
Yeah. What is up?
Please state your name and your address and your... relationship to the project.
Good evening, Julian Clark with Plumley Engineering, here representing the Humane Society. There's also other representatives of the Humane Society here tonight.
Great, thank you, Mr. Clark. So just like before, let me get my act together here. This is a little bit different. I think you've probably been through this before, but this is a use variance, different than the area variance that we just did. So I will read into the record the four standards that we will consider, and then please address these standards while you're telling us about your project. Number one, the appellant cannot realize a reasonable return provided that lack of return is substantial, is demonstrated by competent financial evidence. Number two, the alleged hardship relating to this property in question is unique and does not apply to a substantial portion of the district or neighborhood. Number three, the requested use variance, if granted, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. And four, the alleged hardship has not been self-created. Again, please tell us about your project and try to address each one of those.
Yes. We did provide a narrative addressing each of those comments. I'll kind of go through it quickly now. As stated, Humane Society owns the property 6247. They've been there about over 40 years. In that time, they've purchased additional properties, including the property behind them, what we call property A in the narrative. And they acquired that in 2009. And they acquired the Hoffman Estate, what we call property B, to the west of them. And they just closed on that a few months ago, 2025. The Humane Society is proposing to combine these parcels into one lot and construct a new facility to come into compliance with new regulations. The Humane Society is licensed by the Department of Ag and Markets, and they've updated their requirements, what the building is supposed to provide, and the current facility does not meet all those standards. And if they don't get a new facility up and running soon, they'll be forced to shut down. You guys went through the requirements of why we need the use variance, so I won't go into that. As far as the standards, applicant cannot realize a reasonable return. Again, if the facility isn't upgraded to meet ag and market standards, they'll be forced to shut down. And currently, Humane Society provides dog control services for over 20 municipalities in the area. Obviously, if they're not up and running, those 20 municipalities won't have a place to send their dogs. And then there's also the current people that work at the Humane Society and all the animals that they help. The alleged hardship reading question does not apply to a staff report of the district. The best way I can answer that is that Humane Society has spent the past 40 years looking for other properties. One of the main drawbacks of the facility they have now is that there's no public sewer, so they're going to have to do a septic system. A lot of their search in the past has been with facilities that did have public sewer. And I gave a brief list of just five or six properties that they've spent time and money on trying to relocate. There was the Frozen Cow property on Route 69 in 1985 that was finally decided to be unsuitable because of the wet conditions and limited space. They looked at a property in South James Street that they had purchased in 1990 and started development in 2002, but there's some issues there, so they agreed to find another property after discussions with the city. They also looked at a property on South Charles Street in 2013. There was issues of ownership of that, and there was also poor access and limited space. They looked at a property in 2015 on Route 69. Again, wet soil condition, poor soil conditions made that site unsuitable for development. And just recently, they looked at a property 2018 on New London Road. They had actually had an approval there to start construction, but again, things happened behind the scenes, and they weren't able to move forward with that property. And then Rosen's here if you guys want any further discussion on all the different properties they've looked at, but they have made a concerted effort to find another property. As far as if the variance will alter the character of the neighborhood, they're already there. They've been there for 40 years. They currently use the property in the back for a dog walking area. That's one of the properties they purchased. And they also, we realized after looking at the survey that part of their existing facility actually encroaches on that property in the back. So they're already technically using that property now.
What you said a utility encroaches? I'm sorry.
One of the back buildings encroaches 2 feet onto that property.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep. Okay.
The new building will be located further back, so it'll be further from the neighbors. It'll also have a better parking, and overall it's a better facility. But right now they're right up close to the road, and there's parking right on the road, and there's a lot of people. People are parking along the road, so definitely going to be a better situation when they're back there. As far as if the hardship was self-created, as was indicated, the Humane Society and the property behind them were originally allowed to have an animal shelter or kennel, but there's been two different zone changes in that time, and each time the zone change became more restrictive. So it wasn't their fault that the zoning was changed.
Thank you very much. All right, so we're going to open it up to the public right now. If anybody would like to speak from the public, we usually have a microphone back there. Yeah, everything's all the way up front now. So if you would like to speak, you're going to have to come up to the front and tell us what you think. Nobody? All right. Public portion's closed. All right. So before we get into questions from the board, I only have one communication, and this is from Oneida County Department of Planning. And it's regarding 6247 Lamphere Road and multiple tax parcels. And the subject is use variance to demolish old facility and to construct a new 19,800 square foot facility on adjoining tax parcel. They checked the box. Their recommendation is for approval. This is dated 4/17/2025, and it's signed James J. Genovese II, Commissioner of Planning. Okay, board members, anybody have any questions?
Approval, not no comment.
Yeah, that's the first time I've seen that form. Yeah, that's why I hesitated a little bit. It's a different form. So, yeah, I know. Thank you for catching that, Raymond. That's like a, you did good.
Yeah, I have a question.
Go ahead,
This looks like a good plan, well thought out. Could you talk a little bit about what efforts have been taken to, it looks like you might have some landscaping here, but one for privacy and two for noise mitigation. What thoughts have gone out with the planning and the setup of this new building?
Yeah. And I will say we realize we have to go in front of the planning board and get site plan approval for this. So we'll be hashing out a lot of that stuff with that board. But yeah, we have provided extensive landscaping to
Mr. Clark.
To provide a visual buffer for the neighbors nearest to us. There'll be trees and bushes and raised landscape berms to the south of the new facility between us and the neighbors. We'll also have a tree line on the east side of our driveway, again, for screening, and that also provides some noise. The outdoor facilities for the dogs will be behind the building, further away from the neighbors than they are now. So I think both of those will help, especially when you compare it to what they have now. And the building itself will probably be better soundproof than their existing facility.
Yeah, it seems like the outdoor area will be an improvement, being further away from the neighbors.
I have another quick question.
I just had one more. Your hours of operation are?
11 to 5.
Okay. All right, great. That's all. Thanks.
So just a really quick couple quick questions. So you're not expecting to change the hours. It is almost a 3 times increase in size. Is there an anticipation for increased traffic because you'll be able to maybe accept more pets or more animals? Or I mean, is there a plan to increase activity because now you'll have more space to do so?
Yeah, and a lot of it will be public participation. They're going to try to have birthday parties, bring more people in just to help out with the dogs. And then I think, yes, it would be naturally with a bigger facility, I'm sure more municipalities. These new regs that Ag and Markets has implemented is going to impact other societies that maybe can't afford to come into compliance. So there's going to be more facilities, more municipalities using the Humane Society for the dog control.
I'm just trying to, yeah, I mean, like my question is more of a, I mean, again, those are great programs to do. I'm just trying to, we have to also look at impact to the neighborhood as well. Mm-hmm. So if there's more traffic, then maybe there's an impact to the neighborhood. But do you sense that it would be significant?
No, not significant.
Okay. That's good. Do you want to speak?
Well,
I have to swear you in if you want to speak.
So just that you understand a little bit more.
Please state your name, your address, and your relationship to the project.
Lynn Rosen, Tujica Point, Rome, president of the Humane Society of Rome.
All right. Ms. Rosen, do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So with this project, basically, just so you know the history, what we did is we aren't able to relocate while we're building. So we purchased the property next door to us. That will be our construction site to get to the property to build. So this way we don't disrupt the neighbors. We bought the house. So that'll give us access to the back of the building. We will construct the new facility. All goes well.
Yeah.
And then we will tear down the existing property. And what will that do is that will have a grand entrance. So you have to actually drive in. The facility will set in the back. So the neighbors now will have landscaping and a beautiful driveway, and they won't even know we're there. So
excellent.
And with information about
can you get her the microphone?
Every part of this building will help increase and generate funds for the Humane Society. So this is a community room. So we usually get a lot of traffic on Saturdays, so we can do chip and clip clinics for the public. We can do parties for children. We can do educational seminars. We're working with the schools now. So this will be a community room. We also may be able to rent it out for organizations. So it was thought out. There's also a small retail space, so that it's a one-stop shop. They come to us, they get everything they need to take home their animal and everything they need to make it work for them. So retail will also increase revenue for us. It's very simple, it's workable. It's a cat colony, dogs, in the middle of the building will support feeding, cleaning the cat room, and the other part will be feeding and cleaning the kennels. So basically, it'll be much more efficient. It's simple. It's not extravagant. The back of the building is garages so that our vehicles around the back, and then the rest of it is office space. We are also building an office for a cruelty officer because it's become a major problem in our area. And so our goal is to have a cruelty officer in our building so we can work with the county and the city for cruelty cases. And with that said, we're not going to have the cruelty cases here, but we have access to 200 farm acres with buildings on them so that we can help large animals. So we're trying to work with the county as well. So we can help at least with small animals, cruelty cases, but basically it's storage. And the nice part about the building is it's all enclosed, climate controlled, and in the back are dog runs, which face 365. So when we do let the dogs out, they'll be in the back towards the highway. Neighbors will never hear it. So there's no, and then the other thing nice is because we contract out with 21 towns, dog officers now have to hold their dogs. And according to Ag and Markets, they're not going to be able to anymore because they're going to be shutting down by December of 25, all these dog control facilities because they're mom and pops. So in this end of the building, there'll be a swipe key entrance, and dog control can bring their dogs in at night or whenever they pick them up, put them in our facility, do the paperwork, and then in the morning, they become ours. So we're helping all the dog control small venues as well as city. And so this is a like a night drop.
What will it do to your capacity? Like how many animals will you versus how many you can support now versus how many you would be able to support?
We're not building the shelter any larger. Right now we have three buildings. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we take the square footage basically. This is just more efficient for us, okay. But we're still not going to take on any more animals. But the difference is length of stay. With this facility, they will come from all over to see this facility. And so we figure that we can probably turn our animals much easier, right? So that we can take in the same amount. So we probably take in about 1,500 a year. And as far as, you know, working with the city and the towns. So it's not that it's large because we're taking on more. It's just much more efficient for us.
Great. Thank you. Anybody else?
You mean said he's a 501c3?
We are.
When did this new regulation come to take in place? When was it announced? Ryan, what year?
Would you like to speak?
I got to swear her in too now.
That's okay. So Robin is our shelter manager, and she's working with the state. And we had the inspector come in, and we passed for now. But we were told that in December, we won't pass, and either will any other shelter around right now.
What's your time frame if this gets approval?
We're going to break ground this year. So as soon as we can get through everything that we need to do, we're going to break ground. We're ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you want to explain some of the laws?
Robin, please state your name, your address, and your relation to the project.
Robin Genovese Kaminsky, and I'm 9321 Butler Road in Sequoia. I'm the manager, and I'm a licensed vet tech at the Humane Society.
Ms. Kaminsky, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, great. What was the question again?
When did this law or when did this mandate come out? At what date were you notified that the mandate came out?
3 years ago, they told us that it would probably be effective 2025, but it was a gray zone because there were so many laws that they needed to change, and they had to figure out how they're going to enforce it because the inspectors, you know, are going to be spread thin now. I'm assuming they probably will have to hire more because it's much more complicated, the inspection, than what they do now. So they announced that it would probably happen, but again, they weren't sure. But now they have said that 2025 is the year.
So what I'm saying, okay, so probably 3 years ago, when did they say it was a definite? How long ago?
They didn't, they just announced it the 3 years ago, but they couldn't say exactly when it was going to take place. Because again, they weren't sure inspection wise how they were going to put it all together. But when she came this year, she said December 15th of 2025, we will start the new inspections.
When was your inspection this year?
When was it? I believe it was March, the middle of March. Yeah.
How many dogs do you house in your kennel right now on Lanfrey Road?
About 20.
Or how many kennels, I guess I'll say. How many kennels do you have in there?
20.
Okay. On the new building, how many kennels will be in that one?
I believe it's 20 also. So the 20.
20.
But the housing space has to be different. What you provide for the animals has to be different, even with the cats. It's required only so many in a room. But the difference when you have 20 dogs in a facility like this, their enrichment is much better. So they are more represented as an adoptable dog versus when it's very hard in an old style kennel to keep the appropriate enrichment for them. It's kind of like guys in a prison, right? Better prison, guys reform, they get out of there earlier and they do better. The dogs are the same when they're stuck in an old style kennel. They degrade their emotions. And in this style kennel, it's much more airy and open and daylight and night and day. And that's so important for them. So that's all those things that then when somebody comes to adopt a dog, they're seeing a dog that could easily fit into their home versus a dog that's been in an old style kennel. It's very difficult. Same for the cats.
So you're representing or taking in from 20 municipalities and 20 kennels is adequate?
Yes, because the turnover will be better. So I can tell you that if we built 40 kennels, we would fill those in a month. And then you would have 40 dogs sitting there and you still really haven't accomplished anything. So the goal would be the turnover, that if we can get 10 dogs a month adopted out, that's 10 more we can bring. Whereas in the old style kennel, you're stuck and, you know, you celebrate if you adopt two or three a month. So that's really the goal, is to turn it around quickly.
And on this, in this new facility, will there be ore anticipated for an incinerator on this property?
No.
So there will be no incinerator in this building or in the future?
No. Okay. For the euthanasia, is that what you're speaking about?
No, incinerator.
Crematory? Yeah.
No.
Okay. Any other questions?
Put that in a record.
No, sure. Anybody else?
No, you can do it.
Good. All right. We're going to call for a vote then. 25-005, Humane Society of Rome, owner of 6247 Lamford Road and several other tax map parcels, is seeking to demolish the existing 6,930 square feet facility in construction and construct a new 19,800 square foot facility in an adjoining tax parcel. The new facility will be constructed approximately 131 linear feet from the existing facility is located. All five tax parcels are intended to be merged. So we only just need we need to do a seeker. We have, can I get a?
I'd make a motion for a uncoordinated review and negative declaration.
Do you have a second?
Second.
On that? All right. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Okay. So even though there's two sections, it's just one use variance. Got it. All right. So we're just going to vote now on the use variance for 25-005. And I'm going to start with Ray Tucker.
All right. So interesting, because this is the use variance and the Humane Society is almost a quasi-municipal use in some ways, which is interesting. Financially, usually we look at things more related to the property itself. I think in this situation, though, it makes sense to look at the Humane Society financial standing and what they've done to try to find a location over the last 10 years or more.
Since I was there.
Yeah. remember pretty much. So I think, as strange as that is, I think they've met the financial requirement. Certainly it's unique. They're already a pre-existing use on an adjacent lot. That doesn't exist in most of our situations where we have a street use variance. So I think, you know, that kind of covers both the uniqueness and the character of the neighborhood. It's already existing use on that lot. As far as being self-created, obviously they don't control regulations that are passed in New York State, as well as purchasing most of the property prior to the existing zoning PLG changes. Given all that stuff, I'm approval of the use variance.
Thank you, Mr. Tucker. That would be a yes, correct? Yes.
Yes.
Got it. All right, Mr. Pasqua. No, we love it when you opine. So, Mr. Pasqualetti.
In favor.
All right. We like. All right, thanks. Mr. DeCastro.
Yeah, I'm also in favor. If they stick to the prints and our, my discussion of the incinerator, I'm in favor.
Thank you. Mr. Megelino.
Yeah, I'm also in favor. I think it's a well thought out plan. I know the location's been, you know, like Ray mentioned, considered multiple locations over decades. So I'm glad that you guys finally found the right location. It seems like you've taken in the consideration of the neighborhood and the surrounding area. So I'm in favor. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. And again, I was probably been almost 20 years since I've been with the city. So I know we were looking for a lot at a lot of places when I was here back then. So it's been a long time coming. This looks like a great project. I think you've met all the standards that are required for a use variance. So I'm going to vote yes as well. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Then, you know, you guys have to go to the planning board, right?
Yes.
For a site plan review.
Yep.
So good luck with that. And just keep in touch with Mr. Domenico for any kind of building permits or anything that needs to be done.
Will do. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. That was a good one.
All right.
I like that one. Oh. Okay. Yep. All right. So we have kind of one more item on the agenda. It's more of an interpretation that the Zoning Board of Appeals needs to make regarding some properties. And it is, who's the applicant? Or there's really not an applicant. All right. All right. So anybody here? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody here to represent? Okay. So what the situation is there's some pre-existing lots. And tell me if I'm wrong on any of these. There's some pre-existing lots that pre-existed the current zoning right now. And they are coming back for an interpretation from us as to see if we, because right now the properties that they would like to construct are a, would not be able to be constructed on these properties. I mean, Mark, you might be able to explain it a little better than I can.
I'll explain it. So at the very end of Dawn Drive, there was a subdivision done on Dawn Drive back in 1959, and there were dozens of parcels that were created. They were fairly small parcels. In 1959, 1960, and 1961, there were three homes built on the northern part of that parcel. Subsequently, between that time and now, the city adopted a zoning ordinance that put several of that parcels in that subdivision in what's called an airport approach district. Now, the airport approach district is a very restricted district with regards to minimum lot size, which is 5 acre. And also the setbacks are very large, 40 feet on the front yard, 30 feet on the side, and I believe 40 feet in the rear. So the setbacks are there, assuming that you have a 5 acre lot. But since these parcels were created less than 5 acres, they get the benefit of some pre-existing non-conforming rights. So it basically says if the lots were created prior to the adoption of the zoning ordinance, they're lawful lots. But the caveat is that any building that is built has to respect the other development standards for that district. So you have these very small lots in an airport approach district, and now these lots are subject to 30-foot side yard, 40-foot front yard, and 40-foot rear yard. In most cases, that just will yield you a very small building area. But there's a caveat in the code that stipulates that in such a case, when these offsets are done, if it results in a lot width of less than 24 feet, then the setback of a buildable area of less than 24 feet on a small pre-existing non-conforming lot, the Zoning Board of Appeals can, under an interpretation, can set the setbacks and the density for these lots to allow for reasonable development. So there were 11 lots. We had the surveyor, Jeff Moore, performed an exercise where he, in the, you guys have the map there in your packet, where he did an offset of the 40 feet in the front, which was the airport approach, and then the 30 and the 30 on the sides. And wherever that allowable buildable area was less than 24 feet, they are looking for the board to take a look at that and say, hey, can you set some reasonable setbacks so we can construct some single family homes or any other types of structures that are allowed in that district. So that's what's in front of you today.
And we're just discussing those 11 lots. There's a handful of other ones that.
There are a handful of other ones that are over the 24 feet, so they wouldn't be subject to this proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's only the ones that with the offsets result in a lot width of less than 24 feet.
Okay. Anybody have any comments on this on the board? Oh, do we do a public? I mean, we can do a public.
Oh, yeah.
I can do whatever we want. I don't know if we could do whatever we want, but I know, right? If you'd like to speak, I'd like to have you come up to the microphone and state your name and your address, and then I'll just swear you in. Actually, public comment? I don't need to swear you in. Yeah.
Lori Noon.
I'm sorry?
Lori Noon, 8503 Dawn Drive.
Okay.
What does it do to the pre-existing three houses that are down there?
Nothing.
Yeah, there's no impact to the three homes. This is only for the vacant lot tax parcels that don't have any development on them.
Yeah, no, they're right behind me.
Excuse me?
They're right behind me.
Yeah, yeah. So
I don't really understand what the setback actually means.
It's going to allow them to be buildable lots for a reasonably set.
The structure we can
top. Yeah.
So your proposal is so restrictive, it's you can't build up.
I'll explain it. Yeah.
Visuals are easy.
Pictures help.
Yeah. Right. Yes. It'll be clear. Yes.
What's going to build like 8 feet
wide? Yeah. Some houses would have to be 8 feet wide in order to abide by the side yard setbacks.
So I'll explain this to you. So basically, this is Dawn Drive right here, okay? So typically, whenever you build
why don't we talk into the microphone just to be sure?
Yeah. So basically, this is Dawn Drive, and these are the setbacks. So when you build a house, the setbacks like down on this side, they're 8 foot, 8 foot, and 20 foot. So when you build a structure, it's got to be located away from the side yard in front yard setbacks, okay? Because the airport approach district, the zone actually changes north of this line, and then all these parcels that were created, and there's only three homes up here. There's a home there. Okay, that's you. You got a neighbor there, and then there was another one.
Right next to it.
Yeah, right there. These two and this one, right? So what the zoning code stipulates is that if you have a lot that's pre-existing non-conforming lot of record, and you... The airport approach setbacks are very aggressive. They're 30 feet, 30 feet, and 40 feet in the front. And what is so like this house right here wouldn't meet today's setbacks. That wouldn't meet today's setbacks. But because these were built in 1959, 60, and 61.
Kind of like grandfathered in.
Because the zoning wasn't in existence then. So those setbacks were, you know, whatever they were. So they wouldn't be able to build those under today's regulations without going through the same exercise. But what the code says is that when you have a small lot like this,
mm-hmm.
and you do the 30 foot offset, the 30 foot and the 40 foot,
mm-hmm.
if it yields you a lot frontage of less than 24 feet, which this one does, this.
When you say lot frontage, you mean building
area. Yep, the buildable area.
Yeah.
Not the actual, because it's another 60 feet because you get 30 and 30.
Right.
Right. So it's the buildable area of less than of 24 feet or less. Then it can come in front of the Zoning Board of Appeals for the board to reasonably look at what they can set for setbacks to allow for development. Because the lots are right now with the restrictions of the offsets for the AA are resulting in a lot width of 24 feet as far as the buildable area. So like, I'll give you an example. Right there's 30 feet and there's 30 feet. And now it's created an 18 foot wide buildable area right there. the board can take a look at this and they can say, well, let's do 15 feet and 15 feet. So then that's in 30 feet. So now that goes to 48 feet. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So now it's the board is using their discretion to set setbacks to allow for development of that lot. Because in this case right here, this is a now a non-buildable lot. You only have 8 feet for this entire lot for the entire width. And you can see it's very, very comparable in size to lot 47. Well, because of these extreme offsets, because of the AA zone, it's only give them 8 feet where they can actually build something. So that's what this is about tonight.
And Ms. Noon, I think that, you know, we're going to be reasonable, I assume, regarding this and fit the neighborhood best we can, I think.
That was just going to be my next question when you had touched on that.
Yeah.
So all but two houses are exactly the same up there.
There you go. You can have that.
Oh, thank you. All but two houses are the same. They're all the same size.
Yep.
Everything.
I know the neighborhood.
Yep. So when they go to build new houses, they can't build like big mansions up there. If they bought three lots together, which would give them about an acre.
We can't restrict that. If they merge those lots together and they buy three lots and merge those three lots together and they still abide by the side yard setback and the front yard setback, then they, you know, I mean,
if they only bought one lot, they have to be, because I think you said something about conform to the other houses that are up there.
Yeah. I mean, so
give or take, I mean,
we have certain zoning
standards
in place right now. We have an R18 district and R15 district, and we would try to maybe mirror one of those just to make it easy. Instead of setting our own standards, we would probably follow one of the existing ones that's already in our zoning code right now. So it would be, just look like another typical neighborhood, and it would probably look like similar setbacks than the current neighborhood has right now. That would be my guess, or that's a way we could approach it at least.
They would only build certain square footage to the square footage of the lot. They could, if your lot was 40,000 square feet, they can't build a 30,000 square foot house.
Yeah. But the reality is they want to build a completely different style of house. They can do that. We don't control those things.
No, that I understood, but
we only control the dimension that they're allowed to build.
But like I said, if they buy three and want to build in the middle of the three, then it's all fair game. Okay.
But they can do that now.
That's what I would do. So
they wouldn't need us.
Yeah, they wouldn't need it. Yeah,
they could do that.
Yeah, in the AA district, they probably could do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
but as the lots were sold now, all the houses would probably be uniform to what is there existing.
Correct.
The neighborhood probably, it would not change unless they took to buy three, but I doubt that somebody, if they were going to do that, would go to a bigger neighborhood so their house would fit in.
Right.
So I think probability is slim to none, but I can't guarantee it.
No, I know. I get that. I just wanted to make sure they weren't taking any of my property away from me.
No.
And the other question, I don't know if you can answer it. I know, like, they're zoned for airport approach. It was my understanding that they had to stop building where they stopped up until where my house is because of the base. Obviously, the base isn't there, but they still use it as a fly zone, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, it is an airport approach. Look, you're in the airport approach district as well.
Your property.
You can see where on the map.
Yeah.
See the R18 is south, and then the airport approach is north.
Yeah.
See that line? So, yeah, that is the airport approach. It's really the end of the airport approach district. There wasn't a restriction, so to speak.
You're allowed to build on that.
You can still build on it, but they would have been, as soon as this airport approach district was adopted, which was, I don't even know the day, it was the year, it was in the, maybe in the 90s, they would have been subject to come, if one person wanted to build a house in 1993, and they would have had to come to the Zoning Board of Appeals for some variances for these setbacks at that point. Right. So it's always been there. For some reason, you know, just hasn't been developed or sold. But, you know, now they're looking to get this issue resolved, you know, with regards to these offsets and really having non-buildable lots.
We didn't have a housing need within the airport space for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Now that we've started to have a housing crunch, we're looking at the existing lots.
Okay. Anything else? Awesome. All right. Can we talk about, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can we talk, talk about like what kind of standards we might want to put in place?
Yeah. So my recommendation would be, since the adjoining neighborhood is R18, my motion would be to treat these parcels with the same setback requirements as the R18 zone. That would give them a 15-foot side lots. That should make every one of them a buildable area. For the front area, it gives, I think, 25 or lot averaging.
Mm-hmm.
I think the backs aren't an issue on any of them. So that makes it, it gives them coverages of possible.
So Mr. Tucker has made a motion to recommend or to make an interpretation that we change or that we treat this area as an R18 or some, you know, same way that we treat an R18 district. Is there a second on that?
Hold
on. I'm just going to get a second first.
Yeah, I agree with the R1A. I second that.
Mostly. All right. Thanks, John.
Discussion.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, we're not voting yet. Discussion.
Ray, I believe I heard you say 15 feet. It's actually 10 feet for a detached on site.
The attached is 15, detached is 10, right?
Yeah, detached is 10 feet. Yeah. Attached is 15. Townhouses are attached, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So it'd be 10 for a single family home. Yeah.
I got one question I do have, though, is the majority of the houses in there, is the setback on them 25, 40 feet? Or is,
you can see, if you look at the diagram you have, the surveyor one that shows
I'm talking existing houses.
Well, you can see there's a couple that he plotted the houses on.
Oh, he did?
You can see where the first one has the biggest side yard.
Yeah, no, I'm saying front setback. The fronts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like right there. So that's right at the, that's at the 40 feet.
Okay.
So that's that one that's there. See, this one's at 28 feet on right. The front.
But do we want to hold that at 40 feet?
What? I don't know.
You see, what I'm saying?
To what advantage?
Because
I think you'd want to make it consistent with other houses that are already there.
Right. But that's what he's got. He's got these existing at 40 feet.
No. Yeah, but Mark has the lot leveraging in order to do that.
Right, but.
But only one of them's at 40 feet.
What does the R1A give you?
See, 20, these three here.
25 and lot leverage.
Because these first two are already at 40 feet.
Yeah. Which ones?
The first two houses. Number?
These two houses exist. That
lot 46 and 47 are already at 40 feet. So now if you take the rest and they can come up to 25, it's going to pull them way ahead.
Oh, okay. Well,
see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The way it's designed is cul-de-sac.
Yes, it is. He's got this drawn right here. This is 40 feet.
Because of the design on the cul-de-sac, it seems like
I'm saying the existing.
For builders, you would maximize width by going further back. So I don't know if there's too much of an advantage.
This house here is 40 feet. This is 40 feet.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine either way.
If you pull your radius, there's 40 feet. So now if you pull 25, that pulls them all. If you
Which is worse because this is a lot tighter in front. It's tighter.
So why can't we keep it at the 40? Because they can maintain 40 and let the side go.
I'm not too worried about
the side. I just think for ease of enforcement, we make it the R1A.
No, I understand that, but for the rest of the neighborhood. To make it uniform.
Well, uniform is nice and boring too.
Think about allowed uses.
Right now, they can all meet 40. He's got them already all drawn at 40.
Yeah. Oh, especially in those size spots. Yeah, you can't
25 is the length of a car.
25 is too close.
25 is a truck.
25 is too close.
I'd probably be surprised if they put houses over that much farther.
But if we're saying they're surprised, then why don't we just leave it at the 40, 15, and 15?
What's our 25?
Yeah.
25. Or lot leverage.
I'd say keep it at 40. Because now you go 25, they can pull it right up. 40. You put a truck there, somebody pulls out of the driveway, they can't see because the truck's pulled right in the driveway. Yeah,
Jim, if you look at this one, I'm saying it's like 26 feet. Huh?
Which one?
Right here.
26 feet. That's probably the porch. That's not the house.
Yes, that's.
But the other two are 40.
I don't know.
And he's on a corner lot.
RR.
Draw the line across, Joe. There's your line. He's got it touching right there. He drew it across.
Another option, you guys are looking at the R18 right now. Another option would be for the rural residential development standards that'll yield you a 15-foot side yard setback, a 30-foot front yard setback.
So at the smallest lot, they would still, under those standards, still be able to build a 38-foot wide.
On the smallest lot, right?
On the smallest lot.
With a 25-foot setback.
But your maximum lot coverage is down to 25%.
You pull a pickup truck, somebody can't see pulling out of the driveway.
You may be limiting them on total coverage.
Because he's not going to pull right up to the house.
But
it's close.
Yeah. It is airport approach as well. But
yeah, but we're also 3 miles to the runway.
No, right.
Right. But. He's got it drawn at 40. And I think this 26 is probably a porch because it's not the house. It's a porch because his house is in the porch.
We have setbacks on the other existing properties.
It's a porch.
Properties.
Okay. I
would think that you will see the main structure,
right? Right. 40, 25 is too close.
It's hard to tell if they overheads. They all look
terrible. Right. So, and she just said that's a porch. It's a porch. So his 40 goes right to the front. 40. It's probably the same way here. Because they're all built at the same time. 40, 25 is too close. 40
setback,
15. 40, he's got it drawn at 40.
You have it drawn at 40, you can move the sideline to 15.
What about lot coverage? Do we have to adjust the lot?
That's going to kill, 40, 10, 10 would be. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the lot coverage on R18? 35?
For which one? R18 is 35 for detached, 50 for attached.
Okay, so what's the smallest size lot in this? Do we even know?
They're all about a third of an acre, however, they're just
a third of an acre. The smallest one we can see on here is 68 feet by probably
15,000 square feet, maybe.
Yeah.
So 25 foot coverage on a 15,000 square foot lot is a lot. Yeah. It's a 4,000, just under a 4,000 square foot property, which I don't think.
This is the rest of
right. Right. Yeah. Look. So once you do that, they're all built. Yeah.
That car.
Go 40 feet.
Because
how would you want this house close, and then you see, and then you know this one's 25, and they come back 40 and 425. Got to put 40. He's got it drawn at 40.
I would. I mean, so we're still under discussion. I'm going to recommend that we just compromise on a rural residential. Restriction or the rural residential standards.
25% for that smallest lot, most certain, because that includes impervious drives to the house or no?
No.
Just built structures?
40%.
Just primary structure?
Primary and accessory.
Because that would make the primary structure could be up to 3,000 square feet.
That's right. You're not going to get there.
Yeah.
That would be one. Okay.
All right. So we want to go RR?
I would.
The only thing is that you get a 15 foot side here. Opposed to a 10.
It's fine.
But, you know, they are all pretty much trapezoidal lots, so you go back a little bit further,
you'll get a bigger house.
And that would encourage more of a setback.
It's not like you're a rectangular lot where you're pinned to 15 feet.
So only for a few.
All right, we're gonna just take a vote on what Raymond, or could we just amend it? Or what do you want to do? Like, I guess we could.
Just defeat it.
We could just defeat. We could vote on Raymond's, and you could vote the way you would like. Raymond has proposed.
Can I rescind mine?
Let's just vote it.
Robert's
Rules. Let's just vote it down. All right. Let's vote whatever way you want to. On the motion to use the R18 standards, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no?
No.
No. Okay. Motion has been defeated. Do I have another motion?
Motion to use the RR setback for the wireless ordinance. 11?
Yep.
11 lots.
Okay. Do I have a second on that?
Second.
All right. All right. I have a motion and a second for RR. Any more discussion regarding this?
Yeah, this is not just for the setbacks, but it's for all the dimensional standards, including lot coverage, density. Okay.
Understood. Yes.
We don't have to worry about uses, do we? Okay, we're just doing standards. No.
Yeah,
okay.
For everything in table 80-6-1. How's that?
Sounds good. All right, we have a motion and a second. All right, all in favor? Well, I'm just going to do a... Not going to do a roll call, but all in favor of doing an RR zone standards for these 11 properties, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. Motion is carried. Is that good enough?
Yeah.
We're good. I keep looking at them. I probably should be looking at you. All right.
Motion to adjourn.
Thanks, Raymond. I got a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second for Mr. Megalino. All in favor, say aye. Opposed, say no. Meeting adjourned.